Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
What's the Knoxville Performing Arts Bravo Concert Series? Who's behind it and why? Let's go in-depth with Penny Somar, Jackie Duffy, Megan Phillips, Dr. Randy Flack, and Paul Ferrone with the KPAC Bravo Concert Series Committee. So Jackie, tell us about the Bravo Concert Series. One show's coming up, one's behind us, and then two more this spring. Can you tell us a little bit about this series?
Well, I think the thing that hits home with me is that we have something for absolutely everybody. Tonic Solfa was a wonderful a cappella men's group, like you said, that was just here recently. Steve Lippia just channels Frank Sinatra, and so he's going to fit another wonderful group of people. And I think that Second City, if you love to laugh, that group is going to be for you. And then Black Violin, just how they use the violin to reach all genres of music. So I think there's something for everybody, and I think that the committee has done a wonderful job of selecting something that will interest everybody.
So Penny, tell us about the committee. Who's on the committee?
We have a great committee, very professional people, Jackie Duffy and Megan Phillips, who are music teachers in the school system. So they bring a huge offering to the table. And then we have Dr. Randy Flack, the former superintendent, who was very instrumental in building the facility. Yourself.
I guess we better tell people that.
We better tell people that. And David Hoke, the marketing person at Iowa State Savings Bank. And Annie Leonard. You're familiar with her,
yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Okay. And Annie's going to help us with our website, and so we can get all of our information out there and have a broader audience. And then we have Mr. Paul Ferrone, who's comes to us via our Simon Estes concert and acts as our consultant.
Megan, why is the committee doing this? What's the goals?
To provide a high-quality performance arena for people to attend, to improve the quality of life, and to bring an educational component to not only the students, but to the citizens of Knoxville and the surrounding areas.
What was the student reaction? We can talk about the community reaction, but tell me about the student reaction to the first group coming in. Did that mean something to them?
I had the pleasure of sitting with them on the balcony, and they were all either tapping their feet, clapping, swaying, maybe just tapping a finger on a knee. They got up and danced. They sang along with them. It was a very active participation from the kids, and it was a very respectful, active participation.
And so did they get anything out of it? Does it help them grow musically and academically, or how does it help them?
I think the combination between the clinic and the actual performance really kind of tied a nice bow around it, because the students got to talk to them one-on-one, which sort of humanized all four of the gentlemen for them. But then all of a sudden they put these superstar hats on, and the kids were wowed by the fact that this group is so widely popular, and they got the opportunity to sing with them and perform with them. And so it really, I mean, I don't know, it just sort of amped up as the day went, their excitement level and their energy level. And afterwards, it was just an aesthetic high for all of them. They just couldn't believe what they just got to do, what they had the opportunity to do, and what this concert series brought to them.
And I think that the kids were also shown the realization that there's another way to have a career that it's not just limited to the four walls of your school building or to the four walls of your town or the four walls of your state, that there are lots of different jobs out there, and to be brave and bold and try new things while you have the opportunity to see where life takes you and to discover your own talents.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Penny Somar, Jackie Duffy, Megan Phillips, Dr. Randy Flack, and Paul Ferrone about the KPAC Bravo concert series.
And the community's really stepped up to support, haven't they, Randy?
I think so, and I think there's a lot more room for community support and community involvement here. I think this concert series provides so many opportunities for our community not only to be exposed to different levels of talent, and I think some high-quality talent that many of our people may not have chosen to be exposed to because you have to go to Des Moines or Minneapolis or Kansas City, and we're providing that level of talent right here in Knoxville. As the performances continue and as we continue to grow, I'm certain that more and more people in Knoxville are going to become involved with this and really help our committee and the concert series grow to where it's really a must-see or a must-go-to event.
And we've had some individual and corporate support and looking for more.
Yeah, you always want more support if you can get it. And the reason we want the support is not only so we can continue to provide the top-notch quality performers that we're providing, but because we get that involvement from more and more people. And there's ownership that goes with that, and I think that's so important for us.
I think, too, Dr. Bob, the response that we've had from those individuals who've attended the performances has been amazing. They are surprised by the quality of the entertainment that we have. And I don't know what they were expecting, but they're certainly coming away with a much greater opinion of what's going on here than we've had in the past. So we're excited about that.
Well, and these acts, they've played everywhere. When I spoke with Steve Lippia the other day, the next act coming, and he talked about his time at the Boston Pops. I mean, it's just amazing.
Right. And we've worked really, really hard to try to keep the prices affordable so that people will attend. So we're just excited about the whole venture.
One thing about these acts that I think that they create is a bridge between our students and the community. And I think that that is really important for the kids to realize that there is more than just the people that they live with and more than just the people in their school buildings that care about them, that there's a whole community out there supporting them.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Penny Somar, Jackie Duffy, Megan Phillips, Dr. Randy Flack, and Paul Ferrone about the KPAC Bravo concert series.
Well, and Penny, what does it mean for some of our businesses here in terms of quality of life, recruitment of, you know, maybe some people that they want to come and attract to town? Does it really mean something to our businesses?
It does really mean something, and I think we've found that out when we've had recent job openings open, you know, like our new superintendent and city managers. These are the kind of things that they're excited about and they want their children to be a part of. So it definitely affects the quality of life.
And it might mean that some of the people that they want might move here and help grow the community as opposed to being in another community.
Parks and recreation and entertainment, all of those things are huge quality of life issues for someone looking to relocate.
And so it can help spur economic growth, create jobs. It's hard to believe having a good concert series, as well as the other amenities that you talk about, helps grow the community.
Well, and I think the community is aware of that by just supporting the facility. I mean, I think they have an appreciation for the arts, or we wouldn't be sitting in this lovely facility. So hopefully that will encourage them to help us fill it now that they helped build it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Paul, talk about the process a little bit about getting these top-notch acts in. That's what you do. That's a thing that you love, I can tell.
You know, the process usually takes about anywhere from 12 to 18 months. There are booking conferences that we attend, talk to various artist representatives, start looking at acts that we're interested in. The committee will look at a variety of artisan attractions, maybe 40 or 50 over the course of the planning process, and zero in on the types of artisan attractions that we want to present here in Knoxville. My job is then to start contacting the agents, seeing what's available, seeing which routings for their tours will work, which all also plays into costs and fees and things. And then what we try to do is put it together so there is, as Jackie mentioned, something for everybody. We try to have a series that has a sense of unity about it, a feel that not only speaks to the community but also to the educational aspects. So the process is inclusive of all those factors, and then putting it together in a way that people find it attractive and is of a quality level and interest that supports the goals and objectives they've previously outlined.
And Randy, what Paul's described, it's something that we couldn't do. We don't have the talent, the connection, et cetera, to do that, do we?
Absolutely not. You know, if Paul wouldn't have brought so many opportunities and options for us to consider, there's no way we would have the knowledge or the context to communicate with agents or to even identify groups that would be possible to support here in Knoxville.
We can't do that.
I couldn't.
No, I don't think so. And so is there, I think, you know, as a member of the committee, I'll just speak, it's fun to do this, isn't it?
Very it's much. Great fun. I mean, it's great fun, but there's also great responsibility. I mean, I've been doing this for quite a while, and each community is unique and different, and it was fascinating for me to sit and watch the first time as they looked at all the various artist attractions, and it tells you a lot about what they chose for their first season. I keep going back to this, but I think, you know, the choice of Tonic Sulfa is a group that's familiar to the Midwest. Certainly the Simply Sinatra show has a broad appeal, particularly to a large audience. I appreciate their adventuresomeness in terms of choosing Second City. The show that they're going to bring is called, and you mentioned it, Hits Home. They are going to be learning about Knoxville, and the show will be based on Knoxville and what is currently going on. So it's going to be a very interesting and fun evening. And again, Black Violin is a group that has taken classical music and merged it with hip-hop and R&B and a lot of different things. So I applaud the group for taking the risks they've taken, and it makes a very strong positive statement about the community and being a progressive community that's looking to grow and to be a vital and vibrant place to live and work.
Well, the next thing we have to do is we have to fill the Knoxville Performing Arts Center with Steve Lippia.
Yes.
For Steve Lippia.
And Simply Sinatra.
And Simply Sinatra. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, Steve Lippia is someone who has been singing for quite a while. He's originally from the state of Connecticut. And what I found unique about him was he isn't imitating Sinatra. He happens to have that type of voice. He comes from that part of the country. He is being himself, but it really captures the style and essence of the way Sinatra performed, as well as identify with what we call the Great American Songbook. And those two things together really I think, place him as a definitive performer in that genre.
Are our two music teachers looking forward to this concert?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
This summer, during my graduate studies, I actually did a huge project on Frank Sinatra. And the main theme that I was looking for was, did Sinatra have to change his delivery over time to stay up with the trends and to stay in business? Or did he remain true to his style that he really invented? And he stayed true to himself, which is just fascinating to me because he's still so popular today. That was initially my question was, well, I know why I like him, but why does everybody else like him? What made him so cool and so neat and so successful? And the fact that he was able to remain true to himself is just fascinating to me.
I mean, one of the things, because I think you touch on a very important point, and this is what I have found while listening and watching to Steve on a number of occasions and other performers who do Sinatra shows. There is an authenticity about Steve Lippia that I don't find in some of the other performers who sing that same repertoire. And it's not that they're not giving a good show, but there is something very real and very authentic where you go, oh, my God, that sounds like Frank Sinatra. But even if you didn't know, you would still get the authenticity in his identification with the music.
So what we hear is still just Steve.
Yes.
It just happens to be able to be compared
to Frank
Sinatra.
And I think that makes a very strong performance.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah.
Thanks to Penny Somar, Jackie Duffy, Megan Phillips, Dr. Randy Flack, and Paul Ferrone for contributing to the program.
For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.